In the name of the one true and living God, amen. The chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" Now, if you ever held a position of authority, you may have had the experience of having someone question you. I am sure that some of us who were the eldest of our siblings were at times questioned when our parents went off to work or errands, leaving us in charge. It would be only a matter of minutes when a voice chirped, "Who are you?" Or, "Why should I?" Or, "Who said you're the boss over me?" Questioning did not stop there. Be we the obnoxious kid brother or sister, the sulky teenager, a coworker, or for those who dared, the boss. Not even Jesus was immune to questioning. Ever since Jesus came on the scene, the religious leaders had their suspicions and questions regarding this itinerant preacher. Like his cousin John the Baptizer, Jesus had quite the following. He had his own band of companions who left everything they had to follow him. And wherever he traveled, huge crowds gathered around him, for they saw and heard something different. Crowds were astonished by his teaching, scripture says, for he taught them as one having authority. Jesus' popularity, his authority, was not the result of the clothes he wore or the company he kept. Crowds followed this man from Nazareth because of what he taught about God and how he showed God to others, often with compassion, love, and acceptance. Yet there were those, like some of the religious leaders, who did not accept his teaching or his ministry. And oftentimes in Matthew's gospel, their questions were only asked to trip him up. In today's gospel, the chief priests and the elders once again confront Jesus. They ask him, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" These things they are referring to occurred only a few verses before. They are talking about his having arrived in Jerusalem and being exalted by the crowds as the son of David. From there, he went into the temple and drove out all the merchants who were selling and buying in that holy place. And if that was not enough, he cured some who were blind and lame. Having heard testimonies and witnessing the things he said and did, they question him, "Who gave you this authority?" In other words, "Jesus, who do you think you are?" How easy it would have been for Jesus to disarm his naysayers. How easy it would have been to put them in their places once and for all. Instead, Jesus turned the tables by asking them about the authority of John. Was his baptism from heaven or of human origin? No matter which way they thought to answer him, there are positions and ideas of power would have been put in question by the people. People who did not believe that John was a crazy man, but was a prophet sent by God to announce the kingdom of God and the arrival of the Messiah. People sought John out and were baptized by him. Like John, Jesus had a few choice words for those religious leaders who may have known the scriptures word for word and the laws of Moses, but lived as hypocrites. So after all the talking amongst themselves, they chose to answer, "We do not know." Needless to say, their non-answer did not sit well. And instead of answering their question regarding his authority, Jesus told them a parable. There were two sons. The father asked both to go into his vineyard to work, for there was much work to be done. The first one said no, but did it. The other said yes, but he did not do it. Who did the will of the Father? The first, they replied. And without knowing it, they have helped Jesus to make his point. The first son, though he first said no to his father's wishes, had second thoughts, a change of heart, and he went out and did his father's will. The transformation of the first son was much like the tax collectors and prostitutes, who in the eyes of the religious leaders were lost sinners. Yet these were the ones who responded to John and to the call to repentance. These were the ones who changed their ways and followed Jesus and will enter the kingdom of God, Jesus said. The second son had only talked a good game. "Sure, I will go out into the field, Dad." Yet he did not do what he said he would do. This son was much like the temple leaders who also talked a good game. You see, they were too busy showing off their robes and trying to look important. They knew the scriptures and taught the laws, but did not take them to heart. They did not allow themselves to be changed, transformed by the authority, teaching, and witness of John nor Jesus. And therefore, they continued to be blind, hindered by their own self-righteousness and arrogance. These would be the ones left out. Similar to most parables, Jesus' story really isn't about the two sons. It is about you and me and how we are to live our lives. I suppose that at different times we are like both sons, at times saying no and then doing what needs to be done. And at times saying yes and doing very little or not a darn thing. The question is, when it comes to our faith and following Jesus, will we talk the talk or walk the walk? Will we talk the talk or walk the walk. Each of us is given a choice of how we might answer this question. It is our choice as individuals and as members of this beloved community. We know that 2020 has turned the world as we know it upside down. Things are different and will be different in the future. For good, for bad, there is no turning back. Yet there is still that same path. There is that same journey that we must follow. And that is the way of Jesus. There is that same tugging of our hearts. There is still much work to be done in God's earthly vineyard. You see, the poor and hungry still need to be fed, the naked clothed, the blind given their sight, the sick and prisoners visited. Those who are alone need to know that someone cares. Our world, this nation, and our cities are screaming for justice, true systems of justice. Not slivers of justice, but true justice that in so many ways continue to elude us, especially persons of color. Like so many, enough is enough. Not another parent should be left mourning for their son or daughter. Not another parent should wonder why justice failed them. There is still an undeniable need for acceptance and respect, forbearance, dignity, and love for everybody. Everybody, more so than ever before. We can choose to hear God's call and give lip service, or we can choose to hear and make the commitment, embracing the will of God, giving our lives in service, allowing ourselves and the world to be transformed. But by what we say and by what we do, if we are true disciples, serious disciples of Jesus, our answers, our actions, our hearts will reflect that of the one whose authority we follow. Like many things that Jesus asked of us, it is not easy. Never has been or will be. Even Jesus prayed at times that he might have the strength to do his Father's will. And we, you and I, the world, are called to take his lead. Emptying ourselves, letting go, so that we too can do the Father's will. We are, as Paul wrote, to let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. That might mean that there just might be a little more love, a little more compassion, a little more generosity, a little more justice, a little more peace and harmony, a little more respect that will come into this old tired world. What a thought. How can we make it all happen? Amen.